This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Welcome back to Having with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today is our end of season deep dive for season 14 of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, which is kind of an end of era deep dive for the show. So it's been said ad nauseum, but Andy started saying even before the season was over, honestly, towards the beginning of this season, that the show was broken, that they would be taking a hard look at the cast and the show after the season was over and figure out a new iteration for this cast and for the series. And whether that is going to be a full-on Roni-style reboot or just a big cast reshuffle a la this upcoming season of Atlanta, where it's a mix of returning and people from last season and people from older seasons and new people, who knows? I don't even think Bravo fully knows yet, to be honest. It feels like they want to really like let that dust settle, bring the temperature down around the show a bit, or more than a bit, a lot, and then reassess it. You know, there was a report that came out that they don't plan on starting production on The Real Housewives of New Jersey until 2025. So we definitely have some time. I think they're going to give it the fall. We have a bunch of franchises to be excited about. So I think they're going to let those take center stage and kind of have Jersey fade into the background for a little bit. Because at the end of the day, just the fervor around the show and the intensity around the show and the darkness around the show and the division around the show, however you want to label it, it's just gotten to be too much. And so they all need a break, regardless of who they're planning on bringing back or whatever. I don't think they know that yet. And just as an example of what I'm talking about, a really great day yesterday, I went to the unveiling ceremony for Andy Cohen's wax figure at Madame Tussauds in Times Square in New York City, which is a fantastic wax figure, by the way. He's in like this big room that has a bunch of the late night hosts wax figures in it. You know, they all have these built out sets, and, you know, because the clubhouse is full of all these knickknacks and memorabilia and it's pretty intricate, his is much more involved, and like they sourced everything to be completely authentic. Like the clubhouse did not give them any of these props. The prop guy who worked on it was there, and he like literally like went on eBay and Amazon and sleuthed on Google to find replicas of all the random things that Andy has in the clubhouse. But anyway, it's really impressive. And Jimmy Fallon's from The Tonight Show, his is in the spot right next to Andy. And let's just say that Andy Cohen should be very thankful that his statue, that his wax figure looks like it does. The Jimmy Fallon one is not okay. There's a misalignment of the eyes on Jimmy Fallon's that I'm not sure was intentional. Anyway, Andy was at the unveiling, obviously, and I'll post some stuff from that on Instagram and TikTok. We got to like film some TikToks with the wax figure itself. We got a picture with Andy, super quick interaction with him. But I bring that up because a few broadcast outlets did interviews with him, you know, to promote the new wax figure. And while we were standing there, we were listening to these interviews happen, and they all were asking him, like, what's the plan with New Jersey? And it's like, obviously, like, one, even if there was one, he's not going to tell you right now. And two, like, it's literally been less than a week since this season ended. Like, wait a beat. Like, obviously, there's no plan yet. Like, if you've been paying attention, there's no plan yet. Maybe let's just wait like 5 more minutes to ask him if we want to actually have like a substantial answer or clue to that question. You know, there are many interpretations of what could be best for this show. You know, I as I mentioned on the last episode, I was on Carlos King's podcast this week talking about the Off the Rails special and, you know, Team Melissa versus Team Teresa. And again, it's no secret that I tend to think more on the Melissa and Margaret side of things. And he has been longtime friends with Teresa, so he is the opposite. So it was a really good conversation, I thought. And he did post this clip on his Twitter the other day, where it's just me explaining why I would want Melissa and Margaret and all of them to come back over the Teresa side of the group, but that I think they will choose Teresa to come back. Anyway, that clip got posted, and I could not even bring myself to look at the replies to that because I know it was a bloodbath in there. A few popped up and I was just like, these people, I can't even get into that. But since there are so many loud and aggressive and, you know, just relentless fans of Teresa on Twitter, I decided to pop over to Threads, which is a much more level energy over there. It's much more zen. You know, I obviously spend a lot of time on Twitter, but the feeling that you get when you open the Threads app is very different. And so I figured that if I shared a couple polls or posed a question on there, that I would get a little bit more of a measured response, right? So I did share some polls, and I just wanted to get a kind of temperature check on what people over there were feeling, because I feel like I would get, again, more thoughtful responses. It would be less overt, loud Teresa fans. And there are definitely Teresa fans on Threads. I wasn't just trying to like be in an echo chamber. I just wanted to get like a little bit more of a measured take. So I wanted to share actually some of the responses and results of those polls here. I think it's kind of interesting. So when I asked who people want to come back, Melissa, Teresa, or neither, 62% said they want Melissa to come back, 15% said they want Teresa to come back, and 23% said neither. When I asked what kind of reshuffle people would want to see for the show, 62% said stick with Team Melissa, 10% said stick with Team Teresa, 20% said full-on Roni-style reboot, all new cast, and 9% said something else. Unclear what that something else was. I kind of thought that would imply to write in, but nobody really did. When I asked if people would want to see a spinoff for either family, 46% said yes to One About the Gorgas, 15% said yes to the Giudices, 8% said no Gorgas, and 30% said no to the Giudices. So not overwhelming interest in spinoffs, but that's also telling, I think. But people did also write in a lot of feedback. It seemed like a lot of people over there wanted to see what a season of Jersey would look like without Teresa, but with Melissa. See how she would fare. See how she would do to not have Teresa to bounce off of, to talk about, to kind of free her up from that dynamic. Truly, I think people seem to be curious about that. Basically give her a season to prove herself. Same with Jennifer Aiden. Some people wrote that they would like to see her demoted to a friend of, have Teresa taken out of the cast, and again, see how Jennifer acts or responds to not having Teresa, you know, as her sort of buddy, as her sort of dynamic duo. I mean, a lot of people did genuinely seem to want sort of like the Marge, Melissa, Dolores, Danielle, Rachel, Fessler cast with a couple new additions. But also somebody else pointed out that even though they want that, for some reason, that doesn't really seem like it's an option because, like, again, the wording around this upcoming reshuffle, reboot, recast, whatever it's going to be, it seems to be like bigger than just like a couple people being swapped in, because like they added Rachel and Danielle, two people, two seasons ago. They added Jennifer and Jackie, two people, you know, six seasons ago or whatever it was. But if after all of this, they're just going to like add two people, that wouldn't really feel like in line with some of the language that Andy in particular has been using around this show. So I agree that kind of doesn't really feel like a valid option, but that is something that I would be on board with. And obviously there's still a good amount of people over there who want Teresa to stick around and for them to sort of build the show around her and Dolores and perhaps Jennifer. So it was definitely like a more divided space over there and a safer space to ask these questions and to pose these polls. Again, because like you just can't tweet about the show without being inundated with, you know, you're biased, you're on Margaret's payroll, you are a Melissa stan, so everything you say is invalid, or, you know, this Gibson guy, he's been in entertainment for a while, like he should know better than this. Like, I mean, it's just beyond. So that I thought that the Threads feedback would be interesting to some listeners. But today on the show, we have a great guest. We have Kate Arthur, and Kate is a reporter and editor at Variety. She's really one of the journalists in the Bravo world that breaks a lot of news about the shows, particularly around like production of the shows. Just this year, she's broken the news that the reunion was going to be a watch party filmed at Rails. She broke the news that Carl and Lindsay were both returning to Summer House after ending their engagement. She broke the news about Watch What Happens Live being renewed amid all these allegations against Andy and those lawsuits. She also had the definitive post Real Housewives of Salt Lake City finale interview with Heather Gay and producers and execs, all about the kind of dynamics of the Reality Von T's reveal around Monica, which is a fantastic read. I still think about that article all the time. So Kate is just like so in it, and her reporting is very important to the Bravo world, and it's also very impartial. And I think that was important because, you know, obviously like I come at it from a certain perspective. My opinion on this stuff is known. And I think if I'd had another, you know, overt Melissa Marge stan on the show, to do this deep dive, I would have gotten criticized. So I wanted to have somebody that was very impartial. If you read her writing, it's very straightforward. It's not biased. And so I thought Kate would be a fantastic guest for this postseason discussion amid such an intense, divided atmosphere around the show. Again, she's pretty neutral, so I think she was a great choice to have on to chat about this season, the finale, the watch party, and where it all goes from here. Keep listening for my Real Housewives of New Jersey season 14 end of season deep dive with Kate Arthur from Variety. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. Tuesday's episode will be a listener mailbag episode, so look out for a submission prompt for questions on my Instagram story, on the Gabbing with Gib Instagram story on Sunday evening and into Monday morning before I record. Enjoy. I want to gab. Today we're gabbing with Kate Arthur from Variety. Kate has really been behind some of the biggest scoops in the Bravo world over the past several years. I mean, the Roni being split into two shows comes to mind. The recent Real Housewives in New Jersey reunion stuff comes to mind. That's just to name a couple. But Kate really is at the front lines of the reporting when it comes to Bravo. So I'm thrilled to have Kate here to do an end of season deep dive on this kind of pivotal season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. So Kate, thanks so much for doing this. I'm glad we could finally find a time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so glad to be doing this too. Thank you so much. I have many thoughts. So
as I think a lot of us in this space do. So I guess let's just jump into it. I mean, but I want to kind of go back to the beginning of this season, because I feel like the big promise of this season was, okay, this is Melissa and Teresa agreeing to coexist. It's not going to be about their relationship any longer. We're going to be moving on to different things. They can still both be on this cast for one more season. That was kind of the vibe that we were all kind of told, and that was sort of the log line of this season.
Yeah.
What did you make of that? Did that feel plausible to you? Kind of where was your head?
I remember when Teresa delivered the ultimatum at the reunion last year that Melissa was going to be fired, or the edict, I guess, yeah, that Melissa was going to be fired and that she wouldn't do the show with her anymore. And I remember asking Bravo about that, and they were like, no, we decide who does what with whom, and that's not either of their decisions, and we're expecting that both of them will return, which is, of course, what happened. As we saw, the bigger rift than between Melissa and Teresa was the rift between Margaret and Teresa. And that so dominated the show, which I don't know whether they just weren't, that wasn't something they were thinking about. But Melissa and Teresa did coexist. You know, they did. And I enjoyed this season for the most part, and I was very surprised about it, way more than last season, actually, despite many things that I'm sure we'll get into. But
yeah,
I felt like they did a great job kind of ignoring each other, being in the same space. I mean, as we've seen on other shows, that's very difficult. But, you know, it wasn't repetitive in the way that them trying to reconcile has been over the past many years with Joe Gorga. And now that they gave that up, I was like, this feels workable to me.
Exactly. There are plenty of other storylines that, again, we'll talk about. But like, You realize that maybe that was just taking up so much oxygen in the room that like it wasn't giving enough attention to other kind of smaller dynamics that I think were put under the spotlight this season, I would say. But before we get into kind of what happened with Teresa on this season, which is that like she still had kind of major beef with Fudas, with Margaret, other things, I feel like on the flip side with Melissa, you know, she, to me, my read on it, 'cause she wasn't really super involved in the drama this season, and it kind of felt like she almost like either overcorrected or was slightly in her head about disengaging. And because like it was almost like, you know, to the second degree, Teresa was connected to any other drama. So like, yeah, if Melissa weighed in on that or got involved in that, then she's kind of, I almost feel like she was in her head. How did you read how Melissa sort of carried herself again, kind of after that idea they're going to coexist?
I really like Melissa as a cast member, but if you look closely at her over the years, other than having drama with Teresa, you know, she's never generated that much storyline. And when she has, it's kind of like I don't care about Envy. You know, their kids seem great. It's not that interesting.
She like has it almost two together, basically.
Yeah. and like, I don't believe they have marital problems. You know, they seem to love each other so much. And so, you know, she is an activating agent to Teresa. Yes. And that's mostly been her function over the years. But as like a voice of reason character castmate, like, I think, you know, she's good. And the all worth it for the posing at each other.
100%. That was iconic.
Calling her white trash. I mean, you know, if that was all she did all season, then that's fine for me.
You couldn't have said it better myself. So, you know, the beginning of this season, going back to Teresa, was really, I feel like one of the bigger things was Teresa and Louis versus the Fudas. And I feel like it was interesting because it was shaping up to be this really, really big thing. And then the Fudas left that kind of standoff meeting that they had a little too prematurely. Yeah. And that sort of took all the air out of what was mounting up to be kind of a bigger deal. And then it just sort of went away, I feel like, kind of a third way through the season. And I don't know if that speaks to like how the Fudas were kind of handling the whole situation or what, but I thought it was interesting that it sort of, that just like kind of all went away. It really did.
Yeah. I don't know if they had the stomach for it, right? Like, it's like Teresa and now Louis will go down in the muck with the best of them or the worst of them, whichever.
interpretation. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County, whatever it was, story. You know, they have little kids. Like, I don't know if they were weighing considerations about what their future might be after these kinds of things. But this does get to one of the frustrations, which is the planting of information by trolls, by Jen Aden, it seems, and Teresa also. You know, I saw on the internet this as fed by Jen Aden, who was sharing NBC Universal IP with trolls.
Greeners, yeah.
But like these things, I wish they'd broken the fourth wall more, right? Like, I'm sure it would have come up if there had actually been a reunion, although Andy Cohen didn't seem to really have the stomach for it with Jennifer Aden on Watch What Happens Live. Whether that's because she's like a dead woman walking, or I don't know why, but like, you know, there were those screenshots.
There's an iciness there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That happened. And I mean, her Watch What Happens Live appearance is a whole other separate podcast that we could have. Like, she was keyed up. Like, I can't even, you know, that was like an embarrassing performance. But, and by the way, Jen Aden, please don't attack me on the internet. I can't. The fact that didn't really come out at the Rails watch party is a real flaw in how they wrapped up the series. You know, this cast will never appear together again, and that was like a series finale that we were watching. And you know, I have no insight into what they're going to do with the cast, but that was the last time that full group of people will or shoot together. So
right, we'll get more to the watch party in a little bit, but to me the biggest kind of calling card of the season that I was most interested in was this idea that Jackie had defected from Margaret and Melissa to the Teresa and Jennifer side. You know, we had sort of seen that happen on social media basically in the fall, and then she was on the other BravoCon panel at BravoCon, which was explosive, and they didn't hold back in terms of words. Or, I mean, Jennifer and Teresa got up from their seats and like were yelling at a fan. Like, it was a lot, but Jackie was on that side of things, which was pretty shocking to see if you've been watching the show for the past 6 years. So how did that play out in terms of like what you were expecting from that? Because to me, Jackie jumping ship, even though it might have been for show reasons and to sort of, you know, solidify her place in the show, arguably, it did open up this season. It gave us a lot of, you know, it gave us Dolores versus Jackie. It gave us Jackie versus Margaret. It gave us Jackie question, you know, people questioning whether Jackie and Teresa's friendship was even, you know, legit. So how did that all play out in from your eyes?
Well, I'm curious to know what you think too, but I feel like that's another, we knew the tip of the iceberg part of it.
Yeah.
Like there's the unspoken things about it. The thing about Dolores not tagging her or not including her in the photo, whatever it was.
Yep.
That's because you're not a full-time cast member, right? Like, and
I also don't think that Dolores really likes Jackie. I never have always kind of felt that Dolores never really likes Jackie. Yeah.
Right. Well, they had that fight in Jackie's first season. The way that played out was not one of Dolores's best moments in my memory.
Yeah.
That was definitely, Jackie is a very smart person, obviously. She did not like being relegated to being a friend, and she was doing a thing, you know, that we've seen other people do in the past. And she was on the show more this season than last season, I think, in terms of airtime.
Very much
but
so.
But the fact that she blew Melissa off, she wasn't acting in a normal way to me. And I know she is, even today, I think she's doing some cleanup about how that all worked behind the scenes. But, you know, I thought that she and Margaret really were friends, and that was sort of sad to me. It does show how transactional these friendships can be.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved for her to actually explain in a sane way to Melissa, say, like, instead of like rolling her eyes and acting like she didn't know what she was talking about. And what was it Melissa said? You said in your book that Teresa re-triggered your eating disorder, and Jackie was like, the book, Deck is like, the book hasn't come out yet. That's a spoiler or something, you know?
But it's like, that's deflection. Exactly.
This is the thing that happened, you know?
Yes.
I'm sure they had that conversation too. So like, that part was strange. And
yeah, it sort of just felt like Jackie was rewriting history in terms of like Melissa and Margaret being shocked over this new and sudden friendship.
Yes.
And I think and I do think that a lot of these relationships are transactional, but I do think that Margaret's reaction in particular showed that she was hurt and also thought that their friendship was real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I agree with you. There was, even on Watch What Happens Live, when Jackie was on there, she kind of like wouldn't even hear any of her past comments about her drama with Teresa, you know, what Teresa had meant in her life, which is not a positive. It was a very negative force in her life. And she just overlooked all of that. And that just didn't do her any favors in terms of like people buying what she was selling, basically.
She's kind of ruined her place in the Housewives firmament, as far as I can tell. I was looking at some of the comments on her podcast this morning, actually, and it was just, they were all like, what have you done? Why did you do this? It makes no sense. You're acting like a crazy person. And then the way Margaret was just able to bust her.
Yeah.
That was quite something during the finale. And then it's just so false and sad when she's trying to convince herself that Teresa is her real friend. Like, it sounds like a lie. And and it doesn't make any sense. And anyone who's watched the show, like, would never think it made sense. And it
makes no sense.
It's just disappointing. Jackie is a smart person, and I don't know what the show has driven her to, basically. So it's a good thing for her and her life, I guess, that I assume whatever happens, I don't think she'll be a part of it.
Right. That's one of the key things that I wish we could have gotten from whatever happened at the end of the season, because the finale was just a watch party of the previous episode.
Yeah.
There were no clips from earlier in the season shown for them to react to.
Right.
So there was no opportunity for Jackie and Teresa to really have a moment where Jackie reacts to Teresa literally saying verbatim that she's using her for intel on Marge. And like, maybe Jackie fully believes now that even though their friendship might have started out of convenience and out of show purposes, it's now blossomed into a real friendship. I think that's what they're at least trying to make everybody believe and convincing themselves of. But I want them to say that in their own words. I want them to talk about that with each other, not just, oh, I understood why you were in contact with Louis X because I had done something to you. I was trying to ruin your marriage kind of thing. Like, yeah. We didn't get solid explanation there, I don't think.
No. And you know, we might be skipping ahead, but like, according to the internet, she was in touch with two of his exes, right? If we're going to believe things that spread around the way Jen Aiden wants them to, then apparently there were two exes who Jackie had at her house. So allegedly. So yeah, it's that was, you know, the idea that finale equaled the reunion and we would all see, like, that's just not true, obviously. And that's fine. They don't want to do one, you know. It happens. It's happened before when I think it happens when they know that they're done with the show, basically. Yeah. Considering that it was the season 13 of Real Housewives of New York City, where they also were like, we don't need to do a reunion.
So. Yeah. I also feel like part of it is the subject matter that would have maybe dominated the conversation at a reunion if one would happen. In that case, it was like really ugly allegations of racism and kind of getting behind the scenes stuff. And that's what the Roni situation would have been. And I think this situation would have been, they would have really wanted to talk about the social media of it all and Jen feeding information to people and get to that.
Well, it's this old nose.
You know, you can't make this shit up, Kate. You really can't. But it's sort of like that tarnishes the production. That sort of like that hurts the authenticity of the production. And totally. You know, it's one thing to like break the fourth wall. It's another to do that. You know, and so I think that my read is that they didn't want that to dominate a reunion because that's also too in the muck. Like you said, the show has gotten way too in the weeds. I think that's a through line here. It's like people who are just watching the 42 minute episodes must be so confused over some of the stuff that they're talking about and alluding to on Watch Happens Live, on social media. It's too confusing.
Yeah, no, that would be my wife who I watch the show with. And I'm like, pause. Okay. So you know, I'm constantly like, it was like when I'd read the Game of Thrones books and she hadn't, and that was confusing. But the other thing is, I feel like, and I guess we'll never know the truth, but I assume that it's true that Louis called Margaret's son, who
I do too.
He knew existed before at work and said things to him that caused her to. And I understand that she was half the season in a total rage that he was still allowed to film, and she kind of couldn't let go of that. And that affected her self-portrayal this season, how she projected herself. And that gets into some legal things too, right? Like, I don't think they want to, if I were on one of these shows, which by the way, I would last 1 minute. I can't take it when people are mean to me. But if my employers were allowing one of my fellow employees to abuse me or my children or whatever, I'd be like, hey, can you intervene on this? And if the answer was no, I'd be really mad and upset. And that is obviously was something that was going on with her. We'll never know whether that really did happen. I would believe Margaret over Louis any day. So especially with what he said in the finale, that was so chilling, and that Teresa didn't even have a problem with in the Rails reunion, which was very, very disturbing and upsetting. Again, skipping ahead, but these are all fourth wall things that I know they don't want to deal with. And I understand why.
Yeah. And it's also just like, if that's been in the back of Margaret's head during filming, of like a genuine frustration and anger over the fact that Louis is allowed to film still, despite crossing all these different lines behind the scenes, allegedly, she wouldn't feel that strongly if she was making that up, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, something happened, right? So it's like, and I think that because that has happened, because of the Bo Dietl stuff,
oh my God.
I mean, it just feels like, you know, my interpretation of it is that Margaret and some of the other women feel genuinely kind of threatened in his presence. You know what I mean? And it's dark. It's just dark.
Dark. It is dark. And he is dark. And I don't know. I mean, I worry for Teresa.
Yeah.
I met her once, but I think she's in for it with this guy. It's very worrisome, and there's definitely something. I think her standards have changed in that, or not necessarily, but like that she saw him say that stuff during the finale and didn't blink an eye, and that Dolores had to be like, snap out of it. You know, like, this is really, he's going to get a ton of shit for that, and so are you. And it was like only that caused her to come around to. Yeah, he's
yeah. Do you, I forget who said it. Do you believe the idea that like there's just all this stuff that Louis just like hasn't told Teresa, you know, that he doesn't really keep her. He keeps her in the loop just enough in terms of what he's really doing.
I don't know, but I'm curious about that. But I'm still confused about what his job is.
Or what happened to that scene that was in the trailer that we never got to see.
Right. Yep. Contextually, having now seen the whole season, I feel like that was maybe a bit of a cheat. You know, I could see her saying to him, I don't want to talk about this, like in a way that is more innocent than how it seemed in that scene.
For sure.
But I'm worried about her. You know, yeah. she lost everything. She went to prison, has made like recovered from bankruptcy. And I think it's worrisome, you know, so we'll see what happens. Obviously, she's going to remain famous forever. But I hope that it isn't all the things that I think we're thinking about him.
Shifting gears a little bit to something that we haven't touched on yet that happened within the season a couple times was the emergence of a feud between Jennifer Aydin and Danielle Cabral. To me, taking obviously the fact that things got physical not once, but twice between them.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good match in terms of a Housewives feud and like the energy they bring for each other. I do think that obviously, especially the second time Danielle getting physical and lunging across the table.
Yeah.
Felt a little bit too much. And, you know, the first time she was in her face and it was a plastic cup, it's different. The second time involved a glass pitcher allegedly that was cut out. But what did you make of this feud between two women who, I mean, Jennifer for a longer time than Danielle, but two women who have shown over the years that like they'll go there, you know, they'll maybe cross that line sometimes.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. They were friends last year, and I thought they were pretty well matched as far as adversaries went. And I was interested at how dismantled Danielle was by Jen making fun of
her husband. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen that he's been posting a lot of shirtless selfies.
Yeah, I've seen that. There was a full reel after the episode.
Yeah.
Area.
I mean, you know, he should do what he needs to do. That's ridiculous. And I do think that ultimately Jen Aydin is a sad person. And I'm curious about what will happen to her without this show, but I enjoyed their fighting. I mean, I don't want anything to turn physical, although obviously in real life that does happen.
Yeah.
And there aren't investigations made by a corporate entity. people aren't suspended. But Jen Aydin, I don't like her, but she is a good housewife. She's like, she's very up and down. And I think Danielle is also a good housewife.
Yeah.
So I will miss them on my TV.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's sort of like Jen is one of those people who you either love her or you hate her, but you have to admit that she is pretty good television.
Yeah.
And but she's also one of those housewives who has maybe kind of lost the plot and gotten too can't kind of see above the fray anymore. And she's somebody that like in another situation, if the show is in a different place, she would benefit from a season or two off kind of thing. You know what I mean?
He had crossed the Rubicon for me to be like pretty dislikable. And then in the finale, when she was basically saying in front of Teresa, oh, she doesn't understand this yet. She doesn't understand what just happened. Jackie, that was crazy. Oh, Margs, you really got her. Like, I was like, I'm back right. with Jenny. That was very funny.
She had a good episode, that episode, because she showed that she is savvy. You know, she showed that she's really quick to read what's going on. And her and Margaret had a couple moments at that table where they were sort of like, do you see this? Like, you know what I mean?
And with Melissa too, like Melissa was like, I just want to make sure that we're sane people who saw what just happened. And Jen's like, yeah, we did. We saw. So yeah, it was very, she couldn't help it. Even though Teresa's her bread and butter, she was impressed by what Marge did and also has always hated Jackie too.
Yes.
So yes. I don't think Jackie would say that she's a close personal friend of Jen Aiden's. I think it's all about Teresa. Yeah, she got me back with that one.
So let's go to that final meal again, because, you know, it all leads up to what I think was Margaret making that 11th hour reveal about Jackie. She's saying, you subpoenaed the wrong bitch. That to me was a masterful housewives move. It showed that Margaret was always kind of two steps ahead, even if she'd been blindsided by Jackie. Like, she, I think over the years, she's done a good job clearly in the background of getting information on people and saving it for a rainy day. And whether you think that that's going too far or too conniving or whatever, ultimately, like, this is what Jersey Housewives had become, and Margaret became good at it, you know. And I was impressed by that moment. I really was. It was fantastic television.
Yeah, you subpoenaed the wrong bitch after the funeral wreath being delivered the episode before. I mean, I can't imagine knowing that there's been a gathering at someone's house purely to show receipts about things, you know, like, I can't,
involving the lawyer too.
He handled that in such a good way. And it was so funny, I thought, and I still don't know what the receipts were. I didn't doubt it for a second that Margaret had met with
me neither.
I assume it's true, all of those things, but
they had met with Laura, you know.
I also don't think, by the way, that either of them leaked that video onto the internet. I you know, and it's the same way that I feel like Teresa has always blamed Caroline Manzo for her legal problems, when in fact those kinds of investigations are years in the making and that's actually impossible. I just think it's easy for her to think those things when in fact I assume it's the ex-girlfriend who leaked that somehow.
Right. Yeah. And I think that speaks to sort of like, it's kind of savvy from Teresa's point of view, because it's sort of like, obviously there are way more people involved in whatever that is that could have leaked it. But she knows that, like, if she puts a name out from the show, that's going to stick. And it sort of creates this conspiracy that only deals with these eight women. You know what I mean? And like, when there's many more people involved.
Right. And when Jackie turned to Teresa and was like, I really hated you at the time, or whatever it was that she said.
It was me.
I was like yelling. I mean, that was so, you know, I hesitate to use the phrase mic drop moment, but it really was. And also understandable. And by the way, I wouldn't have thought that Jackie had that in her. So, like, good for her.
Yeah.
She meet with whoever she wants to. And Melissa's commentary as it was going on, where she was just like, everywhere I was going, people were coming up to me to try to talk to me about Louis. Like, that was like a good context to have. And when they did the watching of that scene, and Melissa said the thing about Louis' niece coming up to her in Miami or someplace, and Teresa's like mumbling, I guess I'm going to tell Louis that his cousin is really, you know.
Yes. Like, yeah. Like, that was telling, though. Yeah.
How much can she stick her head in the sand? Like, I mean, as we've seen quite a bit, her husband, her erstwhile husband, called her a cunt on television, and she didn't admit it for years. So she is who she is, Teresa. And
it's very frustrating. I'm believing for the other side of this group, but also just as a viewer sometimes, where it's sort of like, if there are all these people from Louis's past, all his exes, family members, pretty much everybody does not have a nice thing to say about him who doesn't know him right now. And even people who know him right now don't have nice things to say about him. It's a very small group that will defend him.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like, how can you not believe that where there's smoke, there's fire? And also, if you're one of the other women and these people are reaching out to you every single week, it's, you know, all these different people and all these different mediums, are you expected to never give in to that and kind of feed the curiosity of what these people have to say? You know, like, of course they're going to hear these people out.
Yeah. And she and Jen Aden had met with Margaret's ex-best friend.
Exactly.
Whatever her name is. So, like, you know, this is very selective.
Which is classic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. That's fine. They can do these things and then hold it against each other and then do the exact same thing and then have it held against them. And it doesn't matter. This is what right. it is. But this does all speak to the fact that this particular show has become untenable and naughty and maybe just not worth it for Bravo, especially because the ratings, and this was interesting. I think New Jersey has always been in the top three or four rated of the Housewives. And this season, the ratings were terrible. I don't know what the cumulative ratings were, but the live ratings were really, really bad. And I don't...
Like, especially bad.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that's because they were, like, promoting it less or switched it to a different time slot. It's, you know, these are all factors that... And maybe people were watching it on Peacock and not live. And maybe it was because they kind of showed their cards early that they were just giving up on the show. So it's not worth investing in it, literally.
Yeah, I do think the reveal that there was not going to be a reunion, it happened like four or five episodes into the season, really early. And I think that kind of did take some of the air out of what we were watching a little bit. And I'm curious what you think about this, but I think from my reaction from the finale and also the watch party episodes, a through line for that is sort of like the emergence of Dolores as a really meaningful center to this group and yes. really like a figurehead of Jersey in a way that has been true for a while. But I think it really just became something you can't deny in the past couple weeks. It's just sort of like, I mean, even just that image of her sitting at that table in that black jumpsuit with the hair. And it's just
gorgeous. I want a painting of it.
Literally, it's iconic. And it just felt, even her going between the rooms, it's sort of like, if they move forward with anybody in this group, to me, yes. Dolores is the person who really is that person. I don't know. Yeah. There was just something about her showing at the end of the season that really felt like that.
Build it around Dolores. I love Jen Fessler, too, although she has not shown the stomach to the fact that she bailed.
Really interesting.
So early in that dinner that she and Dolores had arranged. That was so funny. Like, maybe there were extenuating circumstances that we just never found out. But, you know, she's great. I love her. There are a couple of them that I would keep, too. But and I'm also like, I feel like my expectations for Dolores on the Traitors are through the roof. So
through
like,
the roof. Yes. Good call out, because I'm so excited to see her on that show. Oh, like, my God. She's made for that.
Yeah. I mean, the Switzerland thing has become like a joke and kind of a cliche about her. But like, her skills are unbelievable. And by the way, like, they weren't always... Like, I mean, we're talking about the early clash with Jackie. Like, it wasn't always the way with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she has found this lane for herself and is very effective as a cast member.
Very much so. Very much so. And yeah, the Jen Fessler stuff really kind of surprised me, because I was so, beginning of this season, I was like, oh my God, Fessler is so on the track from of friend to full time. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. They all love her. But for her to bow out of that lunch, and then also in the watch party, she revealed that she has not spoken to Teresa or Jen since finding out about some of those leaked screenshots with bloggers. She never confronted them about it. That frustrates me as somebody who has really liked her earlier in her time on the show.
Yeah, you can't be conflict avoidant if you're on The Real Housewives. And by the way, I wish they'd said to her, what do you mean? What screenshots? That group could have talked about it more than the other group. But I also wondered whether Dolores was relegated to the Teresa room, obviously they're very old, close friends, but the numbers are really against that group. And it did look a little sad when Dolores went to the other room, which is full. There just aren't that many people on Team Teresa anymore. Like she's alienated most of the cast at this point.
Right. Yeah. And that gets into an idea, Kate, that like, I mean, you and I both kind of pay attention to the conversation online around these shows. And obviously, when you're in this online space, especially around this show, it really feels like there are way more Teresa fans than fans of anybody else. But if you kind of step out of that bubble, even in Watch What Happens Live polls, even when you're posting on Threads and not Twitter, it's sort of like there are way, it's way more balanced in terms of the representation of who people are fans of. And so it really feels like you realize that the online space on Twitter, especially, which really drives conversation around the show, is it's dominated by this kind of small but really loud contingent of diehard Teresa fans who I understand why she has cultivated so much loyalty over the years because of how much she's shown and how much she's kind of battled through things. It makes sense to me, but that skews perception of where the viewership is kind of leaning towards or what they're thinking about. What's your kind of perception of that?
Other than fearing the tree huggers?
Yeah, I mean, same. I'm like, I'm too far gone in that regard, but...
Do they attack you though?
All the time. Yeah. I mean, I get 1-star reviews on my podcast all the time. I get told that like I'm on Margaret's payroll. I get told it's just you can't criticize anything that side does without getting that.
Well, luckily I don't have a podcast. So you know, I feel like the fandom, as we know, of the Real Housewives of New Jersey is very toxic. You know, the Team Melissa people aren't much better.
Yeah, you're right.
Although they have, it's just a toxic fandom. It's just, it's like you've waded into the DC versus Marvel world, except for very different types of people. I don't really know why. Again, I have nothing but respect for Teresa Giudice as a,
of course, same
star and Real Housewife, but it's, you can't say anything. I mean, it's and she's been the through line, you know? So like during the really bad seasons of Real Housewives Jersey, which there were some low lows there, she was the only thing worth watching that season with the twins.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. You're very right.
The things we've gone through, Gibson.
And Teresa was there by our side the whole time. You can't deny that. Yeah.
Lifting us up. but I mean, I'd be curious to see in the conversations that are surely happening at Bravo and NBCU right now, like what they're weighing in terms of, you know, because she's obviously without question a Mount Rushmore housewife, but she has this divisive fandom. She was in on this thing with Jen Aiden to share and spread rumors about and make things up about their fellow castmates. And Louis. And so it's just like, what do they do with that? Do they give her her own show? Is that an interesting show? Is that rewarding? Louis is on the spinoff thing, right? The young.
Yeah. Gia's on Making It Manhattan and Teresa's on House of Villains on E this fall. Right. So right. You're reminded that there are other venues to kind of see this, to see any of these people, but you're right. It's such a catch 22 because, you know, let's say you keep Teresa on Jersey, let's just say that, but kind of most of the other people are gone. Isn't it only just a matter of time before somebody on this, like, you know, new cast goes against her and it just becomes the same situation where it's just not instead of Melissa, it's somebody else, you know? And that's where I think that it's an impossible decision and challenge that they have.
They have to start from scratch or build it around Dolores and a couple of other people.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. This is making me realize I have to check in with Bravo about what's going on.
Well, I was going to ask because you reported around the watch party and the reunion and some of those updates.
Yeah.
When you were reporting any of that stuff, like you didn't get any impression in terms of like what where things were leaning, or just any, even, or just what they were feeling about the season at all?
I've been told just what everyone else has, what Andy Cohen is. I mean, I think this is all just true, that they're just going to, after the season ended, that they were just going to really take a look. The thing is, I don't know that they're in a rush, right? Like, it's like, there's so many different cities and franchises right now. And I know just from an interview that I did with Frances Berwick at BravoCon that there is a concern about there being too many Real Housewives seasons, and kind of, and I asked her that literally at BravoCon when there were four on, or maybe about to be.
There were a lot around at that time.
And which was a big scheduling mishap that shouldn't have happened, but I guess was probably because of BravoCon, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're in a huge rush, but maybe they're, maybe all these things are happening very actively and I've just been not told about it. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. And with the reboot that Roni did, which I thought was a success, I know there are people who think otherwise, or liked the beginning of the season and then fell off or whatever. But like, New York City is very different from New Jersey, right? And I don't know whether you could do the same thing starting from scratch, the way
I agree.
New York did. If you're focusing on one area of New Jersey, like, you know, Northern and Central New Jersey, I'm not sure how many women there are who haven't already been in the background of the show, you know, already.
Or vetted and passed on already, basically. Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, in some posh fashion show that that were during the dark times.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point. And like, I think the Roni reboot was successful, but I don't think that's the answer here necessarily. Because I also think it's like, and who knows if they'll bring them back, but like, to me, you know, taken out of the context of everything, Rachel Fuda and Danielle Cabral are both in their second seasons of Housewives, and they're both pretty solid housewives. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think especially Danielle, but they both have a lot going on and a lot to contribute, I think. And I think they got bogged down by various things that were already existing in this franchise. But like, I have a hard time believing that Bravo's just going to say goodbye to them after two seasons, or at least both of them. You know, I don't know. I don't know. We can speculate for days, Kate.
No, we could and might. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm less, Rachel Fuda seems like a nice person to me.
Yeah.
I
she's not indispensable.
They really impressed me at the reunion last year. I didn't see that as much from her and John this year. As you said, they kind of bailed early on what meant to be a season long arc, perhaps, but by walking out of that dinner
meeting.
I mean, she's also pregnant. I don't know. I don't wish this upon anyone, you know. So so I'm, you know, happy for her, but they have, I don't know, they have little kids, like,
Well, Kate, is there any lingering thoughts, any lingering ideas around Jersey? I mean, again, it's sort of like, if it's this weird feeling of like, we had this whole season, which is, again, we both said we kind of enjoyed the season. The finale was amazing. But like, why rehash every single thing if we're just going to kind of wipe the slate clean? You know, it's this weird feeling.
Yeah, no. And last season, I thought was terrible, and then was saved by an incredible,
amazing reunion
episodes. Like, holy, like, fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah.
And then this year was the opposite. I thought this year was very watchable, and then didn't have a reunion at all, obviously, but had a great finale. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would be sad if I never saw Teresa on my TV again, but you know, there are other places for her to go. And, you know, I feel like Dolores is the future, but again, who knows? I don't, but I'm very curious.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say is just that, like, I do think that this past six or seven seasons, almost 6 years, has been an incredible run of Housewives before it really got too dark.
Yeah,
I think when Margaret joined, up through Jackie and Jennifer joining, Rachel and Danielle joining, it's been a pretty, the cast has not changed very much, and they've really kept the drama up. And obviously it went too far, but I think that they should, in some ways it's a commendable kind of this run of Housewives. It's been, it's a feat of casting.
Yeah. And yeah, Margaret is great, is a great housewife too. I'd be sad if I didn't see her on TV again. Also, she had kind of a quieter, sad year just because, you know, her ex-husband had died, who she was very close to. And it was interesting that we saw that stuff with Joe Bonino, and then never, I assume he was diagnosed at some point, and she.
Right. We never. Yeah, you're right.
You know, he was about to get a biopsy and then presumably got a biopsy and found out he had prostate cancer. And we never saw that. So I don't know why, but like that was probably happening, right? When they're having an entire meeting about her. So, yeah. And he really won my heart when he was telling John Fuda, you know, you have to go to the hospital. You have to go to the hospital. That was so crazy that John Fuda almost didn't.
Crazy.
Like he just didn't want to on screen admit some kind of weakness when he's having an anaphylactic
reaction.
He can't
speak, right?
Yeah. It's just like, come on, man. Don't die. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There are so many strong members of this cast. And as you say, they've just added to the cast instead of really subtracting. Yeah, it's a pretty good group, but this season didn't work for Bravo for various reasons. So yeah, that's what we're going with.
Well, Kate, this has been so fun to talk your ear off about all of this stuff. So appreciate you being here. Where can people find your writing and get more of your work? Because it's really valuable to me as somebody who's in this space. I really appreciate all your work.
Thank you. I'm an editor and a reporter at Variety, and that's where you'll find me. And as much as I try not to be on Twitter anymore, sometimes I have outbursts where, you know, I'm on the internet. So, and yeah, I cover all of television and with a passion for Bravo. So
love it. Well, Kate, thank you so much for being here. And hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.